Hello and welcome to another episode of Having a Chat. My name is Tommy Casher and today I'm joined by Kim Borger and we'll be chatting with Rudy Ellis from the Queensland Firebirds. Kimbo, mate, all the way from Bath over in the UK. What time is it over there?
It's 9:05 now in the morning.
Okay, and it's 6:05.
Monday morning.
Yeah, 6:05 on Monday night for me. So I do really appreciate you taking the time. Bath, you guys are going well. Are you top of the table over there in the Vitality Super League in the UK?
Yeah. Confirmed our top four spot on the weekend with a win. And yeah, we've been really good so far. Only dropped the one game by one goal. So all things are traveling well. Just looking forward to keeping that going and then obviously get towards the big dance.
That's it. And I mean, you're going pretty well if you do say so yourself, obviously. Serena Guthrie feeding you. How's that partnership working out?
Yeah. She's class, that girl. Not only is she a cracker of a human, but absolute firecracker on the court as well. So it's been quite nice just learning from her as well. And it's a good little partnership.
Mate, I'm starting to pick up a little British tinge in your accent.
No, don't say that! No! Oh, that's so devastating.
Is this your third season over there?
Yeah.
Like 2.5 because COVID.
Yeah. We only got 3 games in last year, which okay. We won all 3. So I feel like we won.
Righto. So Kimbo, we are very fortunate to not only, I mean, I'm not only fortunate enough to be joined by you all the way from the UK, but we are jointly lucky to be joined by Rudy Ellis, goalkeeper from the Queensland Firebirds. Rudy, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Having a Chat.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to see you guys again.
Yeah, because we all were at working at Netball Vic at a few years ago, and we've all kind of gone our separate ways. But I like to think that Netball bonds us, you know, and brings us all back together.
100%.
Netball is life, Tommy.
So, Rudy, your game on the weekend, Queensland Firebirds 60 went down to the Giants 67. So 7 goals there. What was Megan Anderson's message to you girls after the game?
Oh, I think as a group, we were definitely disappointed with the performance. I think we sort of made the errors ourselves, but I think we definitely learnt a lot from the experience. And I think that's just, their quality side. Like, I think that shooting end is just unbelievable. And I think, playing them, we've learnt a lot. And we can then take that into the rest of the season and hopefully, have a better challenge next time we play them.
Yeah. So, Reeds, you're getting a lot of turnover. What do you think, how did that all break down? So you obviously didn't score as much as you'd want off them, but so what do you think you need to work on in terms of that attacking lineup, bringing the ball from defence to attack?
Yeah, I think transitionally we didn't have our best game. So I think it's just being able to see all the options down the court before, passing it sideways and that kind of thing. And just having that confidence down in the attack end as well. I think we normally have this, really strong connection between our attack end, but I think it just sort of it was patchy yesterday across the court. But I think that's definitely something.
You think that was because it was quite physical down the attacking end? Because I personally don't think the attacking end, like you were saying, didn't look as settled as what you normally would. So do you reckon it was because of that physicality?
I think it definitely had a part in what happened down there, but I think it was also just us. Like, I think our just like a little basic errors, just like passing and catching and our feeds and everything just wasn't on yesterday. And I think definitely because of how good the defense was, but I think that's stuff that we can fix 100% during training.
I guess following on from that question from Kim, how exciting is it when you can get it all working and the time, I guess for the last few years, the Firebirds have had Romelda under the post sort of playing the majority of the game. And now when Gretel can rotate, you've got Tipper in goal attack, Gemma Maimai playing wing attack and Ravitt center, you are quite dynamic. Do you think it's just taking a few rounds to get used to a different combination in the front end?
Oh, 100%. But I think it's like such an exciting thing about our team because everyone's just so different. Like our attack end between Tipper and Dids and Gretel, like they just bring something so unique, each of them. And then Same with like Lara Kim and Jem, like they've got speed, they've got strength, they've just got so many different things to bring to the plate, I guess. And it's awesome how Megs is like chucking everyone out there, like everyone within the 10 is getting a run. And I think that's going to be like a good thing once we build those connections moving forward, because yeah, it'd be unpredictable for teams being able to shake it up all the time.
So what's it like now having Kim back as well, Kim Rapp? Because I feel like she has these incredible standards of training and her intensity in the game is insane. So then to have her injected back down there, like it blows my mind how well her and Gretel have come back from having babies. Like I feel like Gretel's better.
If that's possible.
Yeah, I know.
It's honestly insane. Like, I think, like, when I have a kid, I'm not going to be able to play netball. Oh, God, I'll be sitting on the couch for at least, like, 6 months. But, yeah, they're just amazing. Like, we have so much respect for them too, because they've come back after having kids. Like, Kim's living away from Adam and stuff too. And to be able to just, like, come to training, they completely, like, give their 100% every single session. And they are those, like, benchmarks for us as well. So it's pretty inspiring having people like that in our team. But yeah, Rav's intensity at training and stuff's like unbelievable. So it's really cool having her around the club now.
So Rude, you mentioned that you are enjoying how Megan is throwing everyone around on court and you are building those connections. How hard is it, I guess, when you've been involved in different netball programs before and the coach doesn't rotate everyone around as much and the three players who are on the bench kind of don't get much court time? Like, I think last year during COVID when there was they were able to have 10 players in a squad on game day and there were rolling subs, coaches were more likely to throw things around. How much more beneficial is it now for you?
Oh, I think it's been so good this year, being able to be chucked on, not just for like 5 minutes here and there, but actually having like a consistent like quarter or two out there. Like, I think it's building my confidence and experience and stuff at that level. And like I said before, I just think it's so good being able to have 10 players that can, yeah, play at that level and that intensity and everything. Because you just never know with injury or, yeah, touch wood, nothing like that happens. But I think it's just such a good way to be able to prepare, yeah, for this. The season's a long season and we're only 3 games deep. So, yeah, I think it's awesome that Megs is trying us all out there.
And it would also instill a little bit of confidence in you as well that she's got, that she backs you and the players and the, like the squad that she's got to throw you all out there. But I thought when you came on, yes, well, when did you play? Yesterday, 2 days ago? Sorry, the time zone thing throws me.
I'm a bit confused too.
Yeah, I'm like, was it yesterday? And Tommy and I said the same thing. We thought you did a really good job on there, confusing the space. And, I mean, you had a really tough battle because you're playing against one of the most classiest shooters going around at the moment in Joe Harton. So tell us what your thought and your plan was, I guess, and what was the direction that Megan was sort of giving you to go out there to combat her?
Yeah, she's an amazing shooter. Like, honestly, I feel like she'd probably be one of the hardest ones that we play on in SSN, which makes, yeah, the Giants such a great team. But I think being able to be off for that first half, looking on and seeing what Tara and Kim were doing out there, they just needed to be more pressure, I guess, on Jo and focus on her to maybe have a bit of physicality, but also just to, yeah, confuse that space. And I think being a bit taller and stuff, it was good just having like a few extra centimetres out there to, yeah, maybe put that pass off a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. I think the attackers probably had the better of us yesterday, but yeah, it was cool being able to get some turnovers in there.
It's also been impressive how Sophie Dwyer's come in, I guess, with Kira Austin's injury. Sophie's then stepped up in a couple of games and sort of, obviously she's not at the level of Kira, but they haven't really lost anything with Kira not being out there. She's formed a really good partnership with Joe.
Oh, she's awesome. And I played Sophie Dwyer and Matisse in the 2019 like A&L grand final in Vic. And I remember then being like, oh, this girl's going to be like unbelievable. She was so good. But yeah, I feel like she's slotted straight in and she plays quite similar, I reckon, to Kira. So it's awesome that she's been able to step up like that. She had a really good game yesterday.
So, Rudes, what do you reckon the direction of training will be this week for you guys? What are the key things that you will be addressing?
I reckon definitely like our transition. So making sure that our conversion rate off those turnovers is a bit higher. And then I think in our shooting end, just developing those connections further, but making sure that those feeds are on and those switches and rotations are working well. And then I think in defense, it's not defending the space as such. I think we probably defended the space a little bit too much, but like going for a player and then coming back and anticipating that ball. So I think there's lots of different things that we need to work on, but it's exciting. We've got a whole another week to prepare for it.
And then you've got the Magpies this week. So Shimona Nelson, is that someone you'll watch a lot of vision of this week and the way she likes to, I guess, take up space in the circle?
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like she's been pretty dominant this year. Like we played her in Traralgon a few weeks ago in preseason game and her holding and her ball skills and stuff, I feel like heaps improved. So I think she's going to be a big challenge, but keen for it.
I guess one of your defensive partners, Kim Jenner, was over with the Diamonds camp in New Zealand. How was that? Has she come back and, is she kind of taking a leadership role down there in the defensive circle?
I think Kim's definitely got that experience and she's, amazing at coming and taking those flyers. But we've also got Tara, who's our vice captain, and she's definitely like a huge leader within our team. And I think, Kim and I are sometimes a little bit quiet out there on court. So Tarzi's that one who gives us that voice and that question. But, it's pretty good having us. Like, we're all pretty different, the three of us. But Tarzi's definitely that one who's, like, got those leadership skills out there.
What are your ages? Like, because he's always seemed so young. Like, I know you're only, like, what, 22? 20. Oh, my God, Rudy.
What do you mean?
I'm such a dinosaur.
Hardly a dinosaur.
Oh, God.
No, it goes Tara's 22, turning 23 next week, and then Kimmy J, she's 23 and I'm 23. So we're a pretty similar age, which is cool too. So hopefully we can stick together and keep developing stuff.
It'd be nice though having like someone like Gabby down there as well though. Like Gabby's got huge knowledge and experience, and I noticed in the last quarter you guys, she just injected, she was like the sugar shot that everyone sort of needed to get up and about. She just basically said in the little huddle, like, we're capable of turning the ball over. Like, we've already done that, but we just need to consolidate off it and just be a bit more clinical. So she would have really high expectations as well. So I guess what is it like having her and working alongside her?
Oh, it's amazing having Gabs. Like, she's honestly probably the most inspiring person I've ever met in the netball world. But, to have her, like, leading us out in defence is just great. Like, she, in those huddles, like, is, really, like, to the point, like, tells us what we need to do kind of thing, and she expects a lot from us. But I think it's, like, so inspiring and motivating having someone like Gabs out there, because she just goes for everything. She'll have a crack at the ball and... that's exactly what our problem was. Like, we were having a crack and we were turning ball over, but we just needed to transition it down into the attack end. So I think, moving forward for next week, that'll be a huge thing. But, it's awesome having Gabs out there.
It'll be interesting to see her v. Kelsey Brown next week. I think that's going to be a bloody good matchup.
Oh, it'll be good. And then, like, Ash Braz and stuff too on Lazi or Jem.
Yeah.
Is going
to
be,
or even little Molly Jovic.
Yeah,
she's found some good form too.
Rudes, one final one from me. Who's the most, because I guess every SSN team has their impressive athletes, but when you look at Kim Rav, I feel like she's just an absolute workhorse and her fitness level would be so elite. But then you've got people like Romelda, Gretel, Lara, Gabby Simpson. Who's the most impressive athlete in the gym?
Or I'd probably have to say Gabs. Gabs is a workhorse in the gym and she lifts really heavy. And I hate when I'm paired with her because it doesn't work very well. But, she's really good in the gym.
Well, mate, Rudes, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time you've given Kim and I this evening. Best of luck for the Magpies this weekend and best of luck for the rest of the season. But Rudy Ellis, thank you so much for joining us on Having a Chat.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome speaking to you guys.
See you, Rudes. Good to see you, babe.
Guys.
Well, that was lovely of Rudy to join us, Kimbo, but let's chat about some of the other games. So Magpies Thunderbirds, it was a four goal. I saw on Netball Twitter a few people have been talking about points versus goals. It's obviously goals, but I guess because so many sports say points, There was even an article I read on the SSN website and it said blah, blah, won by how many points. I was like.
Yeah, I would have thought now that there's the super shot that it would be points because of that, not necessarily the goals. Because it,
oh, okay.
Well, because you obviously get more points if you get a super shot, yep. Not necessarily more goals.
So are you offended as a netballer if someone says we won by 4 points instead of 4 goals?
Nah.
Do you think some people just choose to be outraged for the sake of it?
I do think so. I mean, like with the recent comments about, you know, not the tough conversations and stuff, like that sort of stuff, you know, winds us all up a little bit. But in terms of like points and goals, like there are so many different codes of sport out there. Like you can't wrap everyone in bubble wrap and be offended by everything. You're always going to piss someone off regardless of what you say. So I just think, you know, get on with it.
Okay, great. Let's get on with it. So Magpies won by 4 goals. What'd you make of the Magpies Thunderbirds game?
I thought that was actually quite a good game in terms of just, I think Magpies have been building and building and building, and their speed in the attack end is ridiculous. So I'm really, really enjoyed the likes of the front three. So with Gabby, Molly and Kelsey, like, yes, it's a very, very tiny attacking end, but like the way they move the ball around is just stupid, and makes the defenders have to really work hard and just get some spinning. So I quite enjoy that. And they seem to have done really well in terms of feeding.
Shimona Nelson.
Yes, sorry, Shimona. Sorry, Shimona. And she's grown as well. Like for the first time I've seen her, you know, she had quite soft hands and now she's pulling everything in. So I think that's a really exciting little front end there.
That is a feature of her game. I don't know if it's something she's been told to work on, but it seems anytime the ball is fed to her, she makes a really big effort to like slap her hands together really hard. Do you think that's something that she would have been taught to work on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, generally, like if a shooter's got soft hands or anyone's got soft hands, the coach is forever saying like, give them that little bit more body and things like that to make them fumble the ball. So I think with the game and how physical the game can get, I think as well, like that would have been a definite weakness, I think, for her. So she's done really well in terms of working hard and pulling those balls in and stuff like that. So I think it was definitely a work on for her, but I think she's done really well now.
So a stat that mattered, I'm going to try and this is, so my netball knowledge of reading the game isn't as good as yours, Kimbo, but I've gone on to Champion Data and I found some stats that matter from each game. So the stat that I think mattered in this game, so both the Magpies and Thunderbirds had 14 gains each, but the Magpies scored from 12 of their gains and the Thunderbirds only scored from 6.
That's huge. Like, so that's a stat that we really work on as well. So obviously your centre pass conversion is extremely important, but then also anything else that you gain is just a little bit important because that ultimately wins your game. So I think Magpies were a lot more clinical in their transition and then actually just consolidating by scoring those goals. So they, like I said before, they had been building. So I think that's huge. And I think Thunderbirds would be really disappointed with their turnover to conversion.
I feel like the Thunderbirds have had quite a rotating roster the last few years. Like Maria Folau was in there. They've brought Tilly Garrett over. You've got Sammy Gooden there. Was Sammy there last year? She was, wasn't she? Emma Ride was there last year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they need to start to rebuild and keep the bulk of their team. So I think that was something Vixens had done so well. Like they had the bulk of their girls for so long and it won them a bloody premiership in the end. So I think they do need to get their, I guess, the bulk or what they want, their foundations, and then they can start to rebuild. But you can't just keep chopping and changing every year. There's lots of ins and outs of that team. I know that there was a few people that, like Layla was a huge loss for them to come over. They also got Pittman.
Yeah, that seems so odd. And how can – I saw that she got named in the Roses squad. Like how can Chelsea not be playing SSN but then good enough to play for England? It's like no one think, you know who'd be handy in our team this year? Maybe someone who's good enough to play for England.
Yeah, see, I thought Chelsea had a fantastic season. I've known Chelsea since we were in year five, believe it or not. We were in a state touch footy team together.
How fun.
And she was a quality athlete then, but I just thought she's really matured as a player and a person, and she led those girls really well. She had a fantastic season. And like you said, like, she plays for England. She's won a Commonwealth Games, and you know, all credit to her, but I just think it blew my mind to think that no one snapped her up. I don't know whether it's because she's getting a bit older. I don't know, because she's not, I think she's a fantastic person to have around your camp. So I don't get it.
Especially with a team like the Thunderbirds that we just mentioned are continually sort of changing. Someone who is a mature, experienced head on the court, I would have thought would have been worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, and I think it might have showed a little bit the other day when they were playing. They didn't have they're quite a young midcourt, quite young across the court, really. So I think they really needed to have someone on, you know, with wise head on their shoulders to just bring them all in and say, look, we need to be scoring off these goals. If it takes us 10 to 20 passes to get it in, as long as we're getting it in. So I think that she was sorely missed over the weekend.
Now, our next game was Lightning Fever. This one surprised me a bit. I've actually been putting a four-leg multi-bet with the netball on each week, and I had the Fever to win by 1 to 10, and they won by 16. So, I mean, I didn't see that coming. And it's kind of irritating me how good Fever are playing because of the whole salary cap thing, and they lost 12 points and now they're back to square one.
Yeah, I know. When I saw, I was on the coach on our way to London watching the game, and I was like, oh, go on Lightning, because it's hard for a defender to get anywhere near Fowler, and they feed her like with pinpoint accuracy, and also like she's just stupid, ridiculous at pulling balls in. So yeah, I was like, oh, I almost turned it off after the first quarter because I was like, oh, this is going to be a whitewash, but they pulled it back.
Because it was, I think it was 21 to 12 at quarter time in the Lightning's favour. And then, so, okay, do you want to know? I've got two stats that mattered from this game. You want to hear my insights?
Go on.
Okay. Steph Wood, fantastic shooter, didn't have a great game in terms of her super shots. She shot 1 from 5.
Yeah, because, I mean, she was banging the shots in from anywhere when it was just normal play. And then when the super shots come, I think it's just that added bit of pressure, or I don't know whether they were roughing her up a little bit more or something like that. Yeah, that's a very interesting stat, Tommy.
Thanks, Kimbo. I do find it's interesting, I guess, the pressure that comes on, because you would think that Steph, she's played in Commonwealth Games, she's played in, you know, gold medal matches, even though she's not old, she's a veteran and she's played in a lot of experienced games. But I guess that super shot, how do you feel about it? Because you obviously don't have it over there in the Super League.
I think it definitely makes the game more interesting. And in terms of, like, there's been some real standout performances from some of the girls over here this year. Like, this is her name, I can't remember her first name, but her last name's Barry. She's a, she plays up in the Scottish team and she's unreal. She can just shoot from anywhere, and she's this tall timber, but she shoots from anywhere. So I think someone like her, like, she'd actually thrive in those situations. I don't mind it. It changes the game, and the defenders really have to work harder if they're going to let them just shoot the one-pointers or if they're going to let them go for the super shot. So it really does change the game.
I would have thought it advantaged the Australian shooter. So then when they're going to the international level, while the two-point super shot doesn't exist, if the Aussies are practicing from further out and they can shoot from literally anywhere in the circle at any point, I would think that's more of a threat and it's a positive for us. But everyone's saying it's a negative.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely changes up how you play and then how the defenders have to play against that. So you obviously want to, when it's just normal play, you want to potentially sit behind them and push them high, where when it's the other way, it's flipped the other way. So you want to sit in front and push them back down into the one-pointer type of thing. So it is very different in how you would play.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I look at it. you obviously want to herd them the opposite direction.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's how I would look at it. I don't know necessarily think I'm not a coach or anything. So I just play the game. But I would think that's what my defenders would want to try and do to me if I was playing that.
So second stat that mattered from this game. Courtney Bruce, 6 gains, 5 intercepts, 1 rebound. Now, Mulwaney, Pretorius and Shimon, between them, had 1 gain, 1 intercept and 1 rebound.
Wow. She had a very, very quiet first quarter. Cara Cronin absolutely destroyed her. And I think she needed that to then get out of second gear. I think one of the commentators said, you're not going to have another quarter like that against Cara, like against Courtney. So she's very much a player that will quite adapt to what's happening in the situation. I do think it took her obviously too long. It took her the entire quarter to make some adjustments. Then she came out flying. She was getting turnover in the circle. She's getting turnover outside of the circle. So I think she did really well to actually then apply different things to the game to then, because then the Lightning attack end just didn't look settled. She really got under their skin, I think.
Someone with Courtney's experience, though, why do you think it would have taken her to quarter time to make those adjustments? Is it just a coach or someone from the sideline saying, you know, you're playing in front or we need to do a box defense or whatever it might be? Obviously without being there.
It looked like Fever just had a slow start, to be honest, Tommy. They just a bit slow out of the blocks. And then I don't think they adjusted quick enough to what Lightning were doing to them. So that rotating circle in there that they've got was working wonders. And Cara can really change up whether she's going to be on the hold, whether she's going to be moving. And then the likes of having Sherrian out the front with her ball skills and her feeding accuracy was really good. And it just did take Fever too long to sort of adjust to that. And then they went into the second quarter and really changed what they were doing. And instantly they were like back within the game.
Maybe it's just a bit of a time zone thing. Fever coming here from Perth, coming over to Sunshine Coast, 2 hours behind.
It could be. Luckily for me here, there's all the same time zone because I'm on a tiny island.
That's fun. So you never have slow starts over in Bath, is what you're saying?
Occasionally. We had one game that was at 12 o'clock and it was a little bit like, we prefer the later games, I think. I don't know.
As in midday?
Yeah.
That's a weird time.
Yeah. So we have like, because we have double headed for the season. So it's like a Saturday, Sunday or Sunday, Monday game. So they can go from like 12, then we have 2, then we have 4, 6 and yeah.
Okay. All over the joint.
Yeah.
And now again.
All played out of the one venue.
Oh.
Yeah. COVID.
Oh, fun times. So the final game of the round, which is one that you may have more insight than others, given you in a previous life were involved in both of these teams, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah. The Swifts won by 13 goals, 55-43 over the Vixens. Now the Vixens haven't, I feel like it was a pretty clinical performance by the Swifts. Like they did what they needed to do. They were probably always going to win. The Vixens have been quite, I guess disappointing is a fair word to use, but given they're missing from last year when they won, Caitlin Thwaites, Tegan Phillip, Liz Watson, their whole front end is gone. I understand MJ's still there. Are you surprised by what's happening at the Vixens?
Like you said, it is disappointing because I have played for them. I really enjoyed my time there. I loved playing for them and I've always supported them. So I guess I am very... Yeah, it's going to be a tough season, I think, for the reigning premiers. No game is just a given, and I think they will struggle. It is hard for Kate Maloney to try and then bring the standard up when we've got the young players coming through. I full credit to Simone for backing her, the young girls coming through the pathway. I think with Hannah Mundy and Ruby, I think to be given those opportunities, I think is fantastic. Bit disappointed that I'm not seeing a Taylor Honey in there as well. I think she had been doing some amazing things across the preseason. So I, you know, I'm a netball tragic and I like to keep up to date with my friends and watch them when I can. So I think that was a bit of a shock, I think, for me. But in that attacking circle, MJ is such a powerhouse athlete, but she still needs the direction and she needs somebody that's quite clever and smart out the front of her to try and set things up for herself. So I think that's what they're really lacking in terms of Thwaites and Tegan and how skillful and creative they were at the front, but also just really reliable.
It's interesting that once Tegan and Caitlin retired, the Vixens did go with Kalia Stanton. Now, I don't want to – it's so hard to criticise, but all you can do is talk about the performance, right? So the regular shots, Kalia shot 5 from 9, and super shots, she shot 1 from 4 and had 8 general play turnovers. And that's not the player that Vixens were hoping for or needed trying to replace the likes of Caitlin and Tegan.
No, I think because those two are so clinical and dead accurate, it's going to be a hard act for anyone to follow. So I think it's great that she's been given the opportunity. Do I think she's necessarily the right person for the job? I don't know. They obviously need someone that's going to slot in well and create play, and I don't necessarily think I think she's first choice goal shooter. Yeah. So to then try and force her to be a goal attack when someone isn't, it might not necessarily pay the dividends I think they were hoping for.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it is a natural position for her. There have been a couple of times in the games, I guess we're only 3 rounds in, right? But when Kalia is at goal shooter, and she does look far more natural there and confident moving around in the circle when kind of MJ's holding, it doesn't really work when Kaylee's out at goal attack.
So they did flip it at some point through the game, and I thought it did really well because MJ goes out there and she's just got so much intensity and she just wants to win and she wants the team to do well. She actually raises the bar and she gets people up and going. So I really liked that, and I love that Simone actually did that. And I actually thought it worked better because then she was out the front because Vixens are known for giving those short balls, short give and goes type of things. So they were still doing that, but I think they lacked that energy and intensity, I think, because Kate Maloney can't do it all herself. And she's doing really well to try and get everybody up and about. So having MJ at the front, I thought, really brought that extra bit of energy. And then to have Kalia at the back, just it seemed to have worked a bit better.
I'm hoping that in the next few rounds, we'll see Hannah and Ruby kind of find their feet. Even Ali Smith. I know Ali played last year. She's a premiership player, but she was mainly playing wing defense. Now that Liz is gone, Kate's playing a bit of wing attack. Ali Smith's playing a bit of center. So I think that once they all find their feet, I'm hoping that they will, you know, click and have some better performances towards the middle and back end of the season. Do you think with the younger players, it does literally just take time?
Yeah, it will just take that little bit of time. And like I said before, it's full credit that they've actually gone with the younger girls because they are in a real rebuilding phase because they've had 2 absolute legends of the game retire. And then obviously with the likes of Lizzie Watson's a huge hole to fill. So I think it will just take that little bit of time, but you just got to keep giving them the confidence and keep backing them and keep backing them. So it's not something that will happen overnight, unfortunately, but they will get there. And I think once they feel a bit more settled, because it is a huge jump from VNL to ANL to Suncorp. Like the physicality, the speed of the game, the smarts of people is just ridiculous. I know from, like, if I was to come back over, I know I'm playing the top level netball over here, but if I was to go back and play Suncorp, it would take me a little bit to be like, ooh, okay, like, is she fast? you know, so like it does take that time to sort of adjust to it and things like that. So full credit to the girls. I think they're doing a really good job, but I just need to just be a bit smarter in terms of how they play and not necessarily harder.
Do you think the smarts is the difference though between when, you know, Ruby and Hannah are playing 19 and under nationals to super netball? So they are you know, they have been the best in their age group and they are kind of, I guess, the next cab off the rank in terms of replacing a Lizzie Watson. I guess I am a bit surprised that Taylor was in the 12. Taylor was actually in the 10, the Vixen 10 last year. And then with Lizzie going, that Taylor didn't retain that spot. So maybe that I do think they actually named Hannah as a temporary replacement player. So I don't know if they plan to swap that around at some point.
Well, that's the beauty with Simone. You have no idea what she's thinking. I must admit, I was very much surprised. But, I mean, if Hannah's earned it, and obviously we don't see what happens in training. So if Hannah has earned that position, then full credit to her. But was disappointed for Taylor. I'm not sure. I think as well, though, like what you were saying to me about the smarts, like you can have this powerhouse athlete that is just incredible. Like they're fit, they're fast, they can jump high. But if they don't have the netball smarts, it can be a bit of a, not a disaster, but I mean, you just can't teach netball smarts. Like it's something, and I think there are a few younger players coming up that have got amazing netball smarts and can read the game, but I don't necessarily think that it's something that's dying now. Like there's not a lot of players that are really clever. Like you see the people like Jo Harton, she just is so smart with how she uses her body and how she changes things up. Like you don't get that anymore.
And she makes people look very silly.
Absolutely. She's someone that I would definitely want on my team. But, I know it's only early rounds, but I feel like it could be Giants' year.
Really?
Mm.
Even more so than Fever?
Yeah, I think that shooting circle for Giants is just, to think that that's the three games in and that's how her and Sophie are sort of playing, Joe and Sophie. That's insane to think that, like, somebody that's of Sophie's age, what is she like?
19.
Is she a teenager? Yeah. Oh, God. like, for someone just, and she's so casual about it. She's just like, oh, yeah, just absolutely nailed a super shot, whatever. Like, she just goes about her business.
Now, Sophie was in the 10 to start with, and it's Matisse Leatherbarrow who's come in as the replacement player for Kira Austin. And I think that. Have you played against Matisse before when you were playing A&L?
No, I haven't.
So I saw Matisse play, I think it must have been A&L for the Giants, or maybe it was 19 and under nationals for New South Wales. I reckon she played in the same side as Tilly McDonnell when they won in 2000 and whatever, no one cares. But Matisse's composure and her shot under pressure, what I saw, is very good and impressive. So I think the fact that they've got Matisse and they haven't even used her yet, maybe you're right.
I do think, though, like Julie should inject her into the game because, like I said, you need to get that experience. You need to know what it's like when you get out there and you can't just – You don't want to send the kid out there and poop her pants, you know what I mean? So you need to sort of prepare them.
Yeah.
So I think when there is the opportunity to inject someone out there and to have the likes of Joe behind her, I think it's a perfect opportunity to do that.
Because who's the Fever's third shooter? Sasha Glasgow.
Yeah, who I thought was really good when she came on. Like I would have taken Alice off yonks ago.
Oh, savage.
Yeah, sorry, Alice. I do like Alice, but I just... but Sasha's more consistent.
I think that's the – I kind of feel bad saying things like that. You don't want to bag anyone, but you just call it how you see it. And I think that's where netball needs to get to, where you can criticise a performance.
Yeah.
Not criticising the person.
I constantly get criticism over here because I don't play netball how certain people think it should be played.
How do you play it, Kim?
I'm a dynamic shooter, as they keep saying. I might have said it once and they keep banging on about it. I'm not six. I'm not even 6 foot, so I can't be a bloody holding shooter, okay?
Wow. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Oh, mate, how much time you got? Should I put the kettle on?
How do you feel about holding shooters in the SSN?
Oh, I think it's boring. Sorry, I said it there.
No, but it is fair. Like, do you think...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think they're incredible athletes and they can pull the ball in. They're strong because they're absolutely copping it left, right and centre. So I think what they do is amazing. But I also think as well, like, it just creates more work for the people out the front. And I just think it takes away opportunity for our goal attacks and stuff to be putting those shots up. You see a lot of the goal attacks in the league barely put shots up when you've got a holding shooter. And I think when it comes time to those critical moments where you need your goal attack to put those shots up, their hands like bloody ice because they haven't been able to get into the rhythm. They haven't been able to put shots up. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
I guess that's why Steph Wood and Caitlin Bassett formed such a good partnership at the Lightning and then played Diamonds, because no other duo in the circle were both Australian. They were all internationals. So I think we're almost shooting ourselves in the foot by selecting all these international goal shooters. Then when we get to an international tournament, we're relying on people who aren't starting. Like the fact that, again, nothing against anyone, but the fact that Sophie Garbin went over in the Diamonds and is playing for the Diamonds, she doesn't even start for the Swifts. And I think Sophie's got a lot of talent and I hope she can make it at that level, but it's a lot of pressure to go, you're not really starting in SSN. Because
I think she's a fantastic athlete, Sophie. Oh my God. I've seen her. I was playing with Fury and we had a final over in Perth against her, and she was just phenomenal. I just instantly fangirled over this girl. She was so cool and calm. Just her vertical jump and her strength and just her accuracy as well, I thought was really, really good. And it is such a shame that she doesn't get the nod for the start. Because there's potentially three imports in that attack end. So, like you said, we do sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot. Do I think it's great that we've got so many amazing athletes from internationals that have come over? Yeah, I think it's fantastic for the game because I think it's brought up the standard internationally as well. You know, the England team have really benefited from this because back in the day it was just Australia, New Zealand. That's all it was. And I think England have really had so much growth. Also, I think they've injected a lot more into their program over here, having sort of seen it firsthand with all of my teammates in that. But also the Jamaican side and then even the South African side with the likes of having Norma Plummer be their coach and stuff like that. So I think it is fantastic for the game to have all of these athletes. But for our homegrown athletes, it's a bit of a kick in the face.
Especially when you've got the likes of yourself, Karen Bailey, you've got Caitlin Bassett playing over in the ANZ Champs when she was had a contract for this year still with the Giants. Like, it doesn't make sense what's happening, I guess, with the goal shooters around the league, but that's none of my business, is it?
Let's not open that can of worms, mate.
Nah, let's just leave that to to all the crew on Netty Twitter.
We can talk off air.
Mate, do you follow all the netball Twitter gang on Twitter? What an idiot. Do you follow like all the
stroke?
Yeah, I think so. Netball Twitter. Like, do you follow all the netball Twitter stuff on Twitter?
I'm trying to up my Twitter game because Twitter's quite big over here, I think,
huge.
Fact that like our netball games haven't until this year been broadcast like ever. There was maybe one game a week that was broadcast. Everything else was on Twitter. So I am trying to up my Twitter game. So I might need you to teach me, give me some lessons, but I am trying to keep up to date with everything.
Well, I'm trying to just get a bit more street cred from Twitter gang that I follow.
You're very cool, Tommy. I love what you're doing. I think it's great. You've got good banter. You see it for what it is. And, like, you're not afraid to ask those questions. And I think netballers, we've always been so polite and things like that. So you need to push the boundaries.
Bloody oath.
Yeah. Push that envelope.
Oh, Kimbo, mate. Thank you so much for your time. Who have Bath Netball got next week?
We've got a double header actually. So we'll go up on the Thursday night, stay in London, and then play Friday, Saturday. So we've got Seven Stars and Sirens, who are the Scottish team. So they're pushing for that fourth spot for finals contention. So it's going to be a really good game. And they've found some form lately. And they've led by G. Abernathy, who is an Australian girl who has been doing wonders over there. So she'll be quite interesting, her matching up against Serena Guthrie.
Mate, I'm more interested to see how they handle the dynamic shooter that is Kim Borger in the circle.
Are you taking the piss?
No, not at all. Kim Borger, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining me on Having a Chat. And hopefully we can talk again in another few weeks and discuss all things SSN and a little tinge of Vitality Super League.
Thanks, Tommy.